I just wanted to do something for my neighbors, for my residents, maybe fulfill a piece of something that I had always wanted to fulfill. I was in student government when I was in college, so. And in running, you feel like you're pouring your heart out to people. You're connecting with them and what they're telling you, and you start taking list of things that they want to accomplish, and you compare them to your list.
Right.
And you start incorporating that. The more that you are talking to people, the more your campaign becomes theirs, and I thought that was really cool.
Right.
Then you get elected.
And the work begins.
Yeah, and you realize how much you don't know. It's a whole new world, and it's not just what the town is doing and how it does it, but what role can you play?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just little things that you can just do for, like, one person.
Right.
It could be emptying trash cans on Main Street.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. And sometimes it's bigger things. I come from a creative space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I do for a living is represent world-renowned keynote speakers, and I get to be creative in helping manage them.
Right.
I had to find a different way of using my creativity as an elected mm-hmm. official to find new things to do.
Right.
Sometimes there are very tight boundaries of the way things are done and the way you have to move things through, and other times people go, yeah, just go for it. Just do it. Like the volunteer fair.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the volunteer fair, because that's coming up, and you know, we want to make sure that people are aware, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, like a lot of small towns, a lot of what's done in our town are from volunteers,
right.
And it tends to bring our neighbors together, and we're such a tight-knit group in the town of Clinton. I love it. But at times they don't know everything that they can evolve with or
mm-hmm.
ways that they can contribute. In fact, that was mentioned to me a few times. People go, yeah, I'm new to town. We've lived here a year. We love the schools.
Right.
And we would talk about things that the town's doing. They go, well, I'd love to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a nice centralized way for everyone who needs a volunteer and everyone who is even just thinking about doing something with a few hours a week or a month.
Right.
Have a chance to, in one spot, to learn and to get involved.
And it's not just really for Clinton residents. There's going to be not-for-profit organizations that are really from around Hunterdon County looking for volunteers as well. So anyone who doesn't necessarily – you don't have to live in the town of Clinton to be a volunteer for some of the other organizations. I mean, obviously for Clinton town-specific stuff, yes, we'd like you to be a resident. But for some of the other organizations that will be there, they don't have to be residents.
Well, Clinton is a hub, right? So
absolutely.
So many different activities get centered into the middle of the hub. But everyone from surrounding towns in Hunterdon County and even beyond, people want to come and be part of our community, even if they don't live within the town boundaries.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So that will be on September 11th.
September 11th.
At the community center. What time?
From 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay. So if you're out there, if you're interested in volunteering, there's going to be a number of organizations there. If you have an organization, we still have room for tables?
Yes. Yes.
So
you show up 5:15, 5:30 with your table.
Maybe
bring a few chairs, bring all the literature you can, and sign-up sheets, and then get all your friends and family and neighbors to come out and help support.
Sounds good. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, one of the things, and we talked a little bit about this, is as a resident, you don't always get to see everything that happens. You know, you assume that your government runs two meetings a month and your land use board, you know, one meeting a month, but there's so much more behind the scenes. And what were your thoughts about, you know, the committees and all that's involved in the work? And I will say, you know, you really do put in a lot of effort, as does everyone on council. It's not a two meeting a month job.
Yeah, and thank you for the compliment. When you're a resident,
mm-hmm.
the things that are in your face are the things that you concentrate on the most.
Right.
Okay. So if I'm trying to go downtown and I can't find a parking space, you know, all of a sudden it becomes a major issue.
Right.
If I wanted to walk to town and I can't cross the street, that becomes a major issue. And then when you become elected, you start realizing that some of those things we can't fix just from a council perspective.
Right.
You also start realizing that there is more to managing a town than just sitting and voting on things.
Right.
Right. There's you want to fix a sidewalk. Want to help the fire department with the fundraiser.
Right.
Yeah, you want to – whatever it is, you have to go through a process. You have to have open discussions about it and then make determinations about practically everything. What I like about it is that you get so involved that you're realizing things about the town that you really didn't know existed. You take when it runs well, you don't see it.
Right.
And so as a resident, I didn't see a lot because the town had been running so well and is running so well. But getting involved with those and helping make those decisions is fascinating.
It is. And, you know, and I've always I try to – obviously, we all try to keep – social media is great. So we try to keep residents informed about conversations and discussions that are going on. But the process of a – taking something that's been raised as an issue and how does that translate into – you know, some sort of a resolution or an ordinance that is impact that will have a larger impact on the town. You know, those discussions take place in public for the most part. I mean, other than legal issues or personnel, which are done in a closed session litigation, you know, we try to do everything publicly. And I'll use the example of the property maintenance ordinance that we talked about, you know, at the last council meeting. You get people on both sides. And this is not a one-size-fits-all. We knew that the ordinance introduced wasn't perfect, but we also knew that we needed to have this discussion. And the way to have the discussion is to start the process. And it was interesting to watch the dynamics of where everyone kind of comes from, because we all bring different perspectives. But our ultimate responsibility is to all of the residents. And that's where you really have to try and find the balance. You don't want to hurt any one resident or two residents or three residents, but at the same time, it's also the greater good of the full community. So what did you think about those kind, you know, how do you feel about that and how, not specifically that ordinance, but the process of getting to that?
Well, one of the things I learned when I first came on, I didn't realize, is that, you know, the quorum rule.
Yes.
And that you can't have the group talk about it before you come into a session.
Right.
So, you know, we're a voting body of seven, so we can have a maximum of three people sitting privately in a room trying to work some of these things out. That's why we have the committees.
Right.
But at times, some of these ordinances, it's the first time the whole group has gotten together as the elected body
right.
to talk about it. It's great that we get residents who come and actually give us some input because it triggers thoughts at times that are not fully formed ourselves.
Right. Absolutely.
That ordinance was a great example because I believe there were issues that were brought up that we needed to hear
mm-hmm.
and we needed to understand and maybe get us to a point where we can do something that's even better
yes.
for the town. And you're right. Doing something for an individual is incredibly important. It's as equal as doing something for the entire community. And balancing the two
yes.
Is really tough. Someone complains about a tree in front of their house
mm-hmm.
That may need tended to from the town, mm-hmm. while no other resident worries about it, we should and we do.
Right.
But on the flip side, when you have, let's say, somebody who is not taking care of their property and it's affecting the other residents.
Right.
At times we have to take, we also have to take in their concerns.
Yes.
everything from their property value to the safety of their kids, of their pets, of other residents, everything else, and you have to weigh it. And then you have to make a decision, and some of these decisions aren't easy.
Right. No, it's not. I mean, that I think is the, you know, I look at everything that I do, and I obviously can only speak for myself, but what is in the best interest of the town? How do we best protect the town? Anything we do or say, even if we're in our private lives, can have a negative impact on the town. You know, as an elected official, you are an elected official 24/7. There's not a time when you're not an elected official. So it's always making sure that your thought process, which it's hard to sometimes train yourself that way because, you know, you've been a resident and now all of a sudden you're thinking about yourself, but it's not just me. I have to think about 2,700 other people at the same time. And whatever I say, how does it impact them? Or does it have a negative impact on the town overall? And that is that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy transition to make. And we struggle with that because where I may stand personally in my beliefs could be different than what's in the best interest of the town. And my responsibility, first and foremost, is to the town. And that's what I always have to keep in mind. You know, as an elected official, you see that now. And it's not always an easy transition to make. It's a struggle sometimes.
Yeah. One of the things that I was talking to our neighbors about as I was running for office last year was walkability.
Right.
We have this beautiful town where it's actually very incredibly pleasant to walk. Everyone is nearby. The center of town or to places they want to go. But you also realize that there are things like sidewalks that need to be fixed. There are places where people have to walk in areas and aren't exactly safe.
Right.
I was naive enough to believe that this was something that with just a little bit of elbow grease, we can go ahead and boom, we can just fix them. But you don't realize that some of the properties are owned by the state, owned by the county. There's a limitation on town funds to get some of this done, that there is a process, even if we do it through the town, on those areas we're allowed to, that it takes time to do that. And there is a frustration factor of the and a new level of patience you have to learn. When it does happen, though, I think it's pretty cool.
It is. All right. So with that, we're going to take our commercial breaks, and we will be back shortly.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussions around local government. And this isn't, you know, obviously Mike and I are both in the town of Clinton, but it's not specific. All communities that have the same kinds of experiences. We may have different forms of government, whether it's a township committee and you rotate the mayor, or you have a town like a larger city and it's the mayor is the executive and doesn't sit in on the council meetings. All of those pieces kind of come into play in discussion. So what we're talking about may be, you know, a specific Clinton issue, but it's probably not specific to Clinton and can be seen in many other communities as well. So let's talk a little bit about the process. So, you know, we all have one vote. Everyone makes the assumption that, you know, one of us can drive. And, yeah, we can make the initial push for something, but ultimately everyone has to vote on it. What do you find? Have you found any of that frustrating? Do you find it, you know, what are some of your thoughts on that? Coming in new anyway.
Well, I'll start off by saying that first, I've taken a good amount of time to educate myself when resolutions, ordinances are coming up. Heck, getting into this, I've had to even learn the difference between a resolution and an ordinance. And because I don't want to be caught behind or without the proper information.
Right.
And it's not always in the ordinance. And it's not even always with the person or people that are putting the ordinance forward.
Right.
Sometimes there's additional information that we need to know, you know, going into it. Now, many of these are things that are no-brainers. And, you know, and we pass them. And others, people come in with a particular point of view.
Yes.
And so they're making votes or about to make a vote on their point of view, which you might not have known they had or you might not necessarily agree with.
Right.
And that's an interesting...
Dynamic?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. I, to be honest, I really appreciate hearing it at times. And if it stops us from doing something I think is important, then I find I get into fight mode and want to fight for what I think is right. So I find it I find the process of even talking about it to get to the right decision. And that's why I liked it. It's a majority vote, not a unanimous vote.
Right.
Because it's great to have dissent.
Yes.
And it's great to hear because we might be able to fix that very item that there was dissent about by something else in the future.
Yes. No, and I think that is key. So, you know, one of the messages that we always try to get through to residents is I get that it's hard to attend meetings. Sometimes it's important for us to hear from residents as well. And I'll use when we had Keystone Canna come in and talk about a potential dispensary in the town of Clinton. You know, I had a sense of where I believed residents were on the issue, but this is something that's so new that without that input, we could have potentially made a decision that was that residents felt were detrimental to them.
The meeting where we had the entire community come in and talk about it, I found my heart and my head were at times in two different places.
Right.
I was being pulled towards people who found this to be their first solution in decades to solve major medical issues, debilitating.
Yes.
On the flip side, I felt I really understood and felt the fear that some residents have about what this could be to the community, to their family, especially to impressionable residents of our town.
Right.
And I found the whole thing to be very educational.
Yes.
And we'll need more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not an issue that's going away.
Right. No, I don't disagree. I mean, for me, town halls, we did them during the affordable housing discussions. Because, again, it's important to make sure everyone gets the information, but also their voice gets heard. You know, there are some things – I think that the cannabis issue was much easier because that was an – we could say no to that for a multitude of reasons, not just because the residents, but from the zoning perspective, but from the the affordable housing is another whole issue. And that is – you couldn't say no. But the hard part, which I struggled with, was a lot of our conversations had to be done in executive session because of the litigation involved. We were being sued by a developer. So we could share some information in a town hall, but we couldn't share all the information until we had gotten to some sort of an agreement. What helped, I think, for us was the developer preempted everyone and put out a website showing what he or they wanted to have as a development, which was the 247 garden apartments, 5 pad sites on 28 acres, which sent not just the residents but me included completely over the edge. So that allowed us to bring some of the conversation to the public. But again, I don't want us to ever sit in a vacuum and not listen to what's potentially going on around us.
Well, you bring up a really good point, though, that there are levels that in stages that take place
right
before we get to a point where decision can be made on something that complex. Because there's an initial shock factor that hits when something that somebody has some emotional attachment to, right? Let's say fear.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that somebody's going to build something that's going to lower my property tax. It's going to bring in more traffic. That's going to bring in more residents, maybe more crime. I have no idea what's going on. And there's an initial shock factor.
Yes.
The great thing about this town hall process and just our process in general, talking to residents, is first, let's learn.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get more information into hands so there isn't things are not being passed through innuendo. And so on.
The telephone game.
Yes, the rumors and so on. Once there's enough information, then people can start talking about it from, I think, a really logical, more logical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps. That's when it really helps us.
Right.
Because then we can start saying, okay, we know how this affects this one group of people and how it affects another group differently. And we can make a smarter decision. That affordable housing issue,
mm-hmm,
and that track that you're talking about shaped itself very well based upon the input from our community.
Absolutely.
It could end up, even though there are still residents who don't agree with the building of it at all.
Right.
If and when it does get built, there are portions of that can enhance the town.
Yes.
Okay. It could put more recreation area in.
Mm-hmm.
It can take an area that is, one of the few areas in our town that could be used in worse ways and make it an area that can add to our neighborhoods and our community.
Right. Nope, I don't disagree. And with that, we're just going to go to our short news break, and then we'll be back to continue the conversation.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The spotlight's on President Trump in southwest France, where today the G7 summit's winding down. And the president's been talking about renewed trade talks with China, telling reporters Chinese officials called twice over the weekend to discuss renewing the talks with the administration. The president saying Beijing is actively reaching out to restart those talks and, quote, make a deal to end the trade war that's been worrying business and government leaders around the world.
White House hopeful Senator Bernie Sanders challenging the Senate Majority Leader, Republican Mitch McConnell, to take up gun control legislation that's been sitting dormant.
Stop your cowardice! Have the guts to debate the issues.
He was speaking in McConnell's backyard of Louisville, Kentucky. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm loving my balance of nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the balance of nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, balance of nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of balance of nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Okay, welcome back. My name is Janice Kovach. I'm here with Mike Humphrey. We're both from the town of Clinton, but obviously the issues we talk about are not unique just to the town of Clinton, but issues that impact all communities and all residents. So what we're trying to do is bring to the forefront discussion topics that break it down and give the residents an opportunity to understand how government works, how municipal government works, as well as county and state government as well, and some of the other things that kind of go on behind the scenes that you don't always see. So with that, Mike, you wanted to talk a little bit about the volunteering again.
Well, I find that people who get involved, even if it's, you know, just sitting on a committee or getting mm-hmm. involved with the fire department or something like that, they get more of an awareness. They visit parts of town they didn't know existed.
Yes.
They meet neighbors they don't normally get access to. They learn how some things work.
Right.
And a lot of times it leads to even more involvement mm-hmm. later on. I'm a big proponent of information because that's what I do for a living.
Right.
And education. But education has to be formal. Sometimes it's just moving past your next-door neighbor in doing something for somebody else on another street or in another neighborhood entirely.
What I really, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to speak to the Clinton piece of it, but what I find amazing is how communities come together, especially when they want to rally around an issue that is important, maybe not just to them, but to someone else within the community as well. You know, what I've noticed is that some of the – and again, I'll go back to when we had the discussion around the dispensary. There were residents who would not be impacted by it because they were on the other side of town, but yet they were there because they knew it was an issue for some of their neighbors. And they were willing to put themselves out there and share their thoughts. Some of them had personal experiences. Some of them had personal views that – regardless of whether it's legal or not, they're never going to be supportive of it. And I can absolutely respect that. That's the beauty of making sure you have an open and transparent discussion around issues that have a significant impact on people, and which is what we do. I mean, obviously all of our council meetings, we would love to have an audience. I love having an audience. You know that. the more the merrier for me. But I get that not everyone has the time. We're here and we are able to, you know, where we can provide information. I know that you've made yourself available to residents. I make myself available to residents. It's not a matter of, you know, there's only certain hours or days or times that we'll do it. It's whenever someone needs something, we're there to respond to it.
Well, and I think some of the more modern tools married to talking to people one-on-one and in person.
Yes.
Right? You know, we just kind of redid our newsletter.
Yes.
Yes. I think it looks very nice. But this is a great way for us to talk to people so that they are more educated what's going on in town, not just to update them,
right.
but when they come to our meetings,
mm-hmm.
when they talk to us one-on-one, they have better information. We'll have a new version of our website coming up in a little bit more in a month.
Right.
And that will give people, hopefully, every tool that they need to do anything they need in town.
Right.
You want
short of paying bills. We're not paying bills yet, though, online.
Well, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
No, we'll get there. But you need to do remodeling in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You need to contact someone
right.
In a committee. You have a tree problem, a road problem, a sidewalk problem, a pet problem, anything that's like that. Having that accessible so they can get the information they need or the person they need to talk to, I think is really important too.
It is. Well, and you know, it's the best part about it is it's easier to respond immediately and let someone have or for them to send something and us to respond immediately than for anything to fester. There's nothing worse than sitting on something and letting it just kind of bother you. And then either when you send an email or a form, there's no response to it. You know, we try to be responsive regardless of the day or time, 24/7. For the most part, we are. There's a few times, you know, we may not be able to respond immediately or it may kind of get lost in it, but we're always there and always on.
Well, I mean, our job in a large part is to maintain quality of life
right.
for our residents.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going through repaving roads, right?
Yes.
Roads don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalks don't last forever. You know, we have issues with things that maintenance the town, like our garbage or snow removal or things of that nature. But these are the things that affect all of our residents every day.
Right.
You know, these are not – one of the things I find striking in actually going out and talking to people, knocking on doors
right.
and talking with them is that there is a perception that every person who serves as elected official is political.
Right.
You know, that there is a driving ideology that says I'm red or I'm blue, so I stand for this or that, and that you should vote for me because I stand for it. But when you're talking about towns and mm-hmm. cities, it's about the quality of life. It is not necessarily about federal policy.
Correct. That's an important point to make because it is. It doesn't matter which affiliation you may have. Trash gets picked up the same way. Roads get plowed the same way. Sidewalks get done the same way. All of those things are not specific to either party or non-party. It really is about doing what's in the best interest of a community. And you can have all the ideological conversations you want to have at the state and national level, but when it comes down to the work that needs to be done, it really does not matter.
Well, so, you know, and a great example of what we have to do
mm-hmm.
In governing a small town is we have, you know, we have town roads, city roads, state roads, and an interstate highway come through.
Right.
And each issue with each one has to be dealt with separately.
Yes.
So, as example, we have our old 22 that mm-hmm. runs right through town. That's a state road.
Right.
It's a road that is still not necessarily the safest. To
correct.
Walk on for pedestrians. But our control over doing that, we need to incorporate the state.
Mm-hmm.
We need to apply for grants. We need to find ways, and it takes years and years until all those entities are at the point where they can say, go. Let's do it. Sometimes it's something you call someone, they will be out within the next month, and sometimes it's something that takes 10, 15 years. And that coordination...
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that I've had to learn is who do you coordinate with? What is the best way of doing it? Don't miss stages in doing it.
Right.
Leverage people that you know so maybe you can make it happen a little faster
mm-hmm.
or that you take a little bit higher priority for it. It's all interesting.
Right. No, it is. I mean, it's where do you have – and relationships are key to your point, whether it's with the state government departments – such as DOT or DEP, or whether it's with the legislature. I know that, thankfully, from my time in Trenton, I still do have a number of contacts there. but I also will leverage the legislature wherever I need to. It will always come back to what is in the best interest of Clinton and its residents. And that's going to be my number one priority. And I may harass the governor's office. I may harass Senator Doherty or Assemblyman Peterson or Assemblyman DeMeo. Doesn't matter. My responsibility is to make sure that we get what we need and our voices are heard. So whatever it is I have to do, whoever I need to go to, even if I don't know the individual, believe me, I've got your phone number and I know how to find you, whether you want me to or not. So, you know, these are all the things that kind of come into play. And, you know, I can't stress enough, any resident in any community, your elected officials are there for you. They're there to be a sounding board. They're there to answer questions. They're there to resolve issues. Any one of those items, you should be able to get to them and get them to respond to you. If they don't, you need to call them out, because that's what I would do as a resident, is call out anyone who is not doing their job. And believe me, I've been called out on issues because there's something that was done that someone else didn't like, and I can appreciate that. I can appreciate everyone's point of view, but ultimately it's what is in the best interest of the town in moving the town forward and the greater good of all the residents. You know, and that sometimes becomes a balancing act and is difficult. You want to say something? Okay. So let's see. I just want to make sure we're watching our time. We don't wind up getting in trouble and missing commercials, because, you know, we're all supported here by our commercials. I do want to put a quick plug out there. So today is August 26th. It is the 99th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment. And yes, this is kind of important to me because of my previous work that I did at the Division on Women. But in August 26th, 1920, the United States government ratified the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. So, you know, we had a little celebration in Clinton yesterday, which was for anyone and everyone that wanted to participate. It was nice. I'll tell my favorite story of the ratification of the 19th Amendment is Tennessee was the last state to that actually made it so that it reached the 38th state so that it could be ratified. August 20th of 1920, Tennessee was set to fail the ratification of the 19th Amendment, and a young assemblyman, 24-year-old assemblyman Harry T. Burns, received a telegram from his mother telling him to do the right thing and support the suffragists. He was the deciding vote to ratify it in Tennessee, and the funniest part of the story is that the rest of the assembly was so angry with him, he had to climb out through the attic windows to avoid getting attacked by the other members. So, you know, 99th anniversary. Next year, we will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the ratification. We celebrated the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment being passed by the House and the Senate. That was June 4th of 1919. So now we get to celebrate 2 years in a row, make 200-year celebrations. So that's my little plug for today, my little bit of history. So for any students that may or may not be listening, you can take this back to your history teachers and say that you learned something new about the ratification of the 19th Amendment. With that, we're going to go to our last set of commercials, and then we will come back for the last, 10, 15 minutes to continue some conversations and then say goodbye.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, so we are back for our last, 10, 12 minutes or so. Mike, anything you want to share as far as what this last year has been like overall and some kind of closing thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I enjoy it even mm-hmm. during the times I don't. I enjoy it.
Right. I know the feeling.
Yeah, I think, now I have an understanding of things like why does a building stand vacant for a few years?
Right.
You would think it would be as simple as somebody going just to buy it and redo it. And when it doesn't, most often the fingers get pointed at the local government.
Right.
It's their fault. They must be doing something. They must be taxing them and they don't want. And you start realizing that's not the case. Because maybe there's a problem with the land.
Right.
Maybe they're overpricing the property. Maybe they're using the property as leverage. Maybe it's not the right fit for what we think should go there.
Mm-hmm.
But so we can't maybe we can't point the right people to the right direction.
Right.
And that's just one of many examples. As you know, I've been really pushing for us to get a veterans memorial in town.
Mm-hmm.
Just for uniformed services, a place we can go for Memorial Day and September 11th celebration, things of that nature. But finding the appropriate place for it, getting enough support, that everything now is counting on fundraising. I know this is a multi-year project.
Yes.
It's not as simple as I thought it would be when I first came in.
What a novel experience, right?
Yeah. I would say the thing I enjoy the most about it is having the chance to talk to, I think everyone's my neighbor now.
Yes.
I went into parts of town there were some streets I'd never been on before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know people who live there.
Right.
And I meet them on the street and I get a chance to talk with them.
Yes.
Yesterday, after the Women's Equality Day celebration, I was at a hot dog place
mm-hmm.
on Main Street. And within 5 minutes of sitting there, the entire counter was filled with people talking with me and asking me questions.
Right.
And I got to give them information back that they wanted, they needed. They didn't know where else to go, but since I was there, they started asking.
Yes.
And I could have sat there all day. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Now, what do you do at the food store, though? That's always fun, the conversations at the food store, which, I joke about it all the time. My husband always jokes about it. My family hates going food shopping with me. But that's where you're hearing issues that are impacting people on a regular basis. They see you. They can catch your ear. And it's that face-to-face. It's not just an email. It's not just a phone call. It is this is an issue for me. I need to get this addressed. Where do I go? How do I do it?
Does that mean that you hit the frozen foods at the end instead of the beginning?
Yes, exactly. Thankfully, the frozen foods are on the other side, so it makes it easier. But like I said, we joke about it all the time, but we're a community that is engaging and people care about where they live. You know, we pay high property taxes, but we willingly pay it because of the quality of life that we have. We need to ensure that that quality of life continues. And, you know, what someone thinks is just their issue may not be just their issue. It may be something that's much larger. And if we're not aware of it, we can't fix it or we can't address it. So, you know, again, I can't pitch it enough. You need to let us know what's going on, what your concerns are, even if you think it's trivial. If it has nothing to do that will not impact anyone else, you never know. And most times they're easy fixes. A few times they're not so easy and it takes a little bit more to do. But little things make a difference to everyone.
Yeah, and I think, you know, living in towns, people will – they want to live their life. They want to – they're harried. They have a lot of things on their mind. Maybe they're in a hurry to get someplace. So they might not necessarily always, let's say, follow the speed limit. Or maybe
right.
There are so many different occasions. Like we had the ducks
right.
Recently in town. These are most likely people, they're not malicious to ducks, but they might be, maybe they're driving a little too fast.
Yes.
Maybe they're taking a quick look at their text while they're crossing a bridge. And so I think that we're kind of the balance at times
mm-hmm.
for people who are, they don't have time to manage the town. They don't have time to do these types of things.
Right.
But they really appreciate people like you and me who will spend the time to do it.
Right.
They may have to give up speeding, you know, as an example, you know, in return. But I think if done right, the officials can make it a better, it can make it a neighborhood. And
right.
that's the toughest thing, I think, in a lot of towns that
yes.
I've seen, is that they're places where people live and they count the people who live next door to them as neighbors, but they're not counting the people in their town as neighbors and
right.
neighborhoods. And the one thing I like about Clinton, but it's a lot of things I like about a lot of New Jersey towns where the people in government spend a lot of time just getting people together so the town representatives can do what the community wants and not just what the elected representative wants.
Right. No, I don't disagree. I mean, that's one of the things that there are towns that do it wrong. I will, you know, not finger point specific towns, but there are towns that absolutely do it wrong because they don't listen to their residents. They don't want to take input. They feel they know what's best and everyone should just follow along blindly. Not something that I could ever support or will ever do. And if I did, then that would be my time to leave, is how I look at it. If I ever got to a point where I believed my opinion was better than anyone else's or more right than anyone else's, that's when I know that I'm not meant to be doing what I'm doing. It's important for us to stay connected. You know, we are the first line of defense. Someone has an issue, even if it's not something we can address. Obviously, you're not going to necessarily get to your assembly or senator, or even at the Congress or the U.S. Senate. You know, you may get to a person in their office, but you may not get to directly to the elected official. Now, I will put the plug in there that the people in the office are the ones who get things done for the senator and the assemblyman and the congressman and the U.S.
And
senator.
For our town.
And for absolutely, and for our town.
They're the ones who – the quality of work they do is amazing.
It is. Now, we don't have that kind of staff. So usually – you know, I love when someone says, well, who on your staff should I call? And, you know, short of calling either the municipal clerk or the business administrator who already have full plates, it's like, yeah, that would be me. I am my staff person. I am my own administrative assistant at this point in time, just as you are as well. And, you know, I think that surprises people sometimes.
You know what also surprises people is that for some reason their belief is, oh, so you're elected official, so that's your job.
Right.
This is a part-time job.
Yes.
We take it very seriously, but we have full-time jobs.
Yes.
On top of this. And sometimes they run parallel and they complement each other, and sometimes they butt heads.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to resources of time.
Yes.
But it's ultimately, when you weigh it all, it's definitely worth it.
It is. You know, I love what I do. I don't know. When I stop loving it, again, is when I know that it's time for me to go and not be sitting in the seat any longer. The other piece of it is I think we also need to reach out to residents who are interested, so that as, you know, as transition happens, no one ever talks about succession planning, right?
Well, I would say that today's national political environment is scaring people away who have great talents and a great heart and really want to be good neighbors,
right,
from coming out and serving. It's not, it does not equate. It is not the same thing.
Right.
Serving in Congress, serving in federal administration is different than coming and serving your town.
Right.
Or your county.
Right.
And I think the only thing I could tell you is that this was one of the best decisions I've ever made,
mm-hmm,
to run and to serve, and I want to do more of it. And just like you, if I don't have the heart or the time for it anymore, then I'm out.
Right.
But there needs to be a wave of people behind me who do want to do it.
Right.
So I would not worry about what you're hearing every day on MSNBC or Fox News.
Right.
I would spend more time reading your newsletter, going on the websites, talking to people who are elected officials, and then trying it.
Right.
Coming out. Give something of yourself of it, because it's worth it for you, and it's definitely worth it with the people who live in your town.
No, absolutely. With that, we are going to close today. Again, thanks for joining us. This is Janice Kovach. I'm here with Mike Humphrey, and I will be back not next week, because next week is Labor Day, but the week after that, and we'll continue the conversation.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The spotlight's on President Trump in Southwest France, where today the G7 summit's winding down. And the president's been talking about renewed trade talks with China, telling reporters Chinese officials called twice over the weekend to discuss renewing the talks with the administration. The president saying Beijing is actively reaching out to restart those talks and, quote, make a deal to end the trade war that's been worrying business and government leaders around the world. White House hopeful Senator Bernie Sanders challenging the Senate Majority Leader, Republican Mitch McConnell, to take up gun control legislation that's been sitting dormant.
Stop your cowardice. Have the guts to debate the issues.
He was speaking in McConnell's backyard of Louisville, Kentucky. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm loving my Balance of Nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the Balance of Nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, Balance of Nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on Balance of Nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Pope Francis hoping the world can come together to put out the record fires scorching the Amazon rainforest. He spoke to crowds at St. Peter's Square Sunday, calling the Amazon a lung of forests that is vital to the planet. After 2 years, prosecutors pressing charges for 12 deaths that happened during Hurricane Irma. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Arrest warrants have been issued for four employees of the Hollywood Hills nursing home in Florida. They're accused of playing a role in the deaths of a dozen residents after Hurricane Irma knocked out the facility's air conditioning in 2017. That prompted many 911 calls like this.
We don't have any air conditioning, so I saw her slouch over. I realized that she's not breathing, so I check her. She's just barely breathing, and her fingers are starting to change color, you know, slightly blue.
The head nurse and administrator are expected to face manslaughter charges.
This is USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
Most meteorologists agree that nuking a hurricane would not stop it and could, in fact, make things worse. Axios is reporting that President Trump reportedly asked about the idea of dropping bombs into the eye of a forming hurricane back in 2017 during a national security briefing. And while the White House hasn't confirmed the report, it's not the first time that idea has surfaced. Government scientists reportedly discussed the idea back in the 1980s. Police say a woman kicked a pregnant woman in the stomach during a fight at a Delaware Chick-fil-A. Police say Jada Blake confronted the 21-year-old pregnant woman after the two jockeyed for a spot at the restaurant's drive-thru over the weekend. Blake hit the woman in the head and then in the face and then kicked her in the stomach. Police say Blake knew the woman was pregnant at the time. The victim was taken to a hospital and treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Louisiana is taking home its first ever Little League World Series championship. Yeah, the kids from River Ridge, Louisiana, crushed Curacao 8-0 in yesterday's title game. They are also the first team to ever win the Little League World Series after losing their first game in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Now, our local weather here at hunterdonchamberradio.com for Flemington and the surrounding area. 69 degrees outside right now. High should be in the upper 70s today. Cloudy on the overnight, low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high near 77. Tuesday night, slight chance of showers later on in the evening. Going into Wednesday, maybe 40% chance of precipitation. Not too much, though, just probably something passing through again. We get into Wednesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Low will be in the 60s. Thursday, chance of showers early in the morning, clearing up. Highs will be in the 80s. Thursday night, low in the 60s, clear through Friday and Saturday. Sunday, possible showers, but we'll see. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Party.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Live on Monday mornings and then thereafter after in our archives. Here's on Rewind a couple of times a week, so we get together on Mondays. Last week was great. We had Mark from Metropolitan Seafood. Next Monday, we will not be live. The office here will be closed for the holidays.